You're listening to No Plot, Only Lore, a podcast about games and the tables we play them at. Your DMs tonight and every night are Josh and Chris. You can find us on all podcast platforms or check us out at noplotonlylore.com. If you like what you hear today, please rate and review the show and share it with everyone you've ever met. Welcome back to No Plot, Only Lore, this week brought to you by the wonderful inn Hook, Line, and Sinker in the frosty town of Caer Conaig, located in the Icewind Dale. Hook, Line, and Sinker is a popular local haunt for adventurers and mountain climbers looking to explore the edges of the nearby Kelvin's Cairn Mountain. That's the Hook, Line, and Sinker, specializing in dwarven ale, as we all know, the best ale. Christopher, do you have an ale preference?
Generally pale. I do like pale ales when I drink them at all, but I don't have like a specific brand. Sell me on one.
I'll sell you on the only ale that I drank with any regularity, which was the White Elephant India Pale Ale from Earl's Restaurant.
Nice.
Yeah, local chain. So Earl's. Like, what?
Oh, I was wondering if you meant like Earl's Restaurant, as in like the chain of restaurants called Earl's, or the restaurant that is owned by that mutual friend of ours, Earl.
Oh no, Earl no longer has a restaurant.
Oh no.
No, I think it's mostly by choice. Okay. So the one that was his, definitely he just stopped wanting to fight with the investment group ownership over prioritizing the bar over the restaurant ever for anything.
Right. That's where the money is.
Well, that is where the money is, and also where they were having more fun, because I guess right. They just weren't super stoked on getting, like, okay, I'm putting this out there that it's not like a real thing that happened, but like just getting lectured about the history of the Spice Road versus like just having tacos at their bar.
Okay.
Yeah. That's fair. Earl has been trying for a while to do what I will call food education as a byproduct of like whatever he happens to be, you know, showing off. So like now he's doing these, I want to call them like dinner series, called Rice and Mysticism, where he teaches you about like Filipino history while making you food.
Neat. That's so good for him.
Yeah, it's like a pop-up kind of thing that just happens in different places. And he had like a pop-up sandwich shop at like a farmer's market or something. I don't know how consistently that's running anymore, but it was decent. So yeah, I don't think he's got anything like physically permanently nailed down, but he's like doing his own thing on a regular basis. So that's good. No, I meant Earl's, the shitty fast casual place.
Yeah, that's always been my concept for like if I do decide to start a food anything.
Yeah,
just like po' boy food truck. Just like Cajun food on a toasty bun from a truck. I don't know if I can handle like actually running a restaurant.
Yeah, but then po' boys will put you in direct competition with Daddy-O, and that place is fucking fire. So
okay, so I don't live in Edmonton. And the Cajun
them,
food
I mail
market
them to,
here.
I mail them to the island.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The Cajun food market here is abysmal. We but don't like, have a Cajun food place that I know of.
Doesn't the island just have like the whitest of white people kind of all the time?
They're trying really, really hard to be the UK here. And it's working.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
And you mean that as an insult, right?
I am on record, and my British friends all know, that I really despise British cooking, if you want to call anything the Brits make cooking.
Wow.
Yeah. It is all weird gray slop and mushy peas, thanks but no.
Ooh, I think Heston Blumenthal would say differently, but he also just had a different flavor of weirdness. So,
yeah, no, that's fair. Do you think nope. that the hook, line, and sinker oh. puts up a Christmas tree every year?
I have a feeling, given the weather conditions in Icewind Dale, especially in the campaign that I'm playing, they have a very tense relationship with the concept of Christmas. if the ground never thaws, it's hard to celebrate the midpoint of winter.
So, as I recall, your character in that campaign is a practicing Hasidic Jew?
Yeah, that's the one.
How does he feel about Christmas?
Oh, you mean the annual celebration of the false Messiah? Not great.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No, that's fair. So today I wanted to talk about Christmas stuff, and I plan to talk about Christmas stuff for the next few episodes before we take a break on Christmas itself.
Right.
Just kind of leading up to it, I figured we could follow in Mariah Carey's footsteps and launch early.
Oh,
and,
that's not the way I was going to. Okay, yeah, you got it.
Oh, no, what?
Yeah. Follow in Mariah Carey's footsteps and ride one song for the next 20 years of our career.
Man, if I could ride any amount of podcast for the rest of my career, I absolutely would.
Yeah.
If we just had to do like one episode topic every single week for the rest of our lives and they were going to pay us Mariah Carey money, shit.
I mean, yeah, you're objectively right. If we could just redo episode 4 of Steal Everything for the rest of my life, I'd probably be pretty happy.
Yeah, that break and everything. I'll re-upload that episode like every year.
Every year I just get to talk about board game mechanics for 2 hours again.
Perfect. Yeah, but I figured we could talk about all things Christmassy. So this episode we're going to talk about some plot hooks and like one-shot campaigns that we might make out of some various Christmas ideas. And we'll talk about things like magic items and some like setting ideas and stuff over the course of the next couple of weeks. Have you ever done a Christmas one shot before?
No, but I have. Oh, I wish I had it in front of me. A while back, I acquired a copy of a second edition or like a you know, an AD&D supplemental book that was like items of power throughout like all fiction, I don't want to say fiction, all like mythological literature, if that makes sense, because it had everything from Santa's bag to like the literal slingshot that David used to slay Goliath, and the Ark of the Covenant, and then like Merlin's wand, stuff like this. And I really wanted to use their version of Santa stuff, but I have never. Everyone that I play with, we're adults and we have holiday responsibilities, and so you know, we just get stuck in family stuff for like 2 weeks continuously.
Right. I have played in a couple of Christmas one shots.
Okay.
Unfortunately, none of them ever are like perfectly self-contained, and so I've never actually like finished one.
Okay, yeah.
They have a tendency to go off the rails real bad because it's Christmas time and everybody's drinking the special eggnog.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I had one where the goal was just to kill Santa. Like the entire plot of the game was somebody has hired
to murder Saint Nicholas. Okay,
to go to the North Pole and kill Santa. I think it was the Easter Bunny. The Easter Bunny was hiring assassins.
Why would he? Okay, you know what? I'm not going to get into it. I don't want to know.
They didn't really get into the motivations of it too terrible much. They were just
on like board.
Yeah, the characters, like the players put together characters that had like a personal vendetta against the old fat man, and we went at it. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I feel like I could probably. So here's the thing. One thing I want in my life is like more friend-based holiday interactions in general. Like I want to. I'm at a point in my life where I can't, but eventually I want to be the central host of some sort of Friendsgiving at a, like, right. friend Christmas and just hang around with the people who are, like, my found family, you know, more. Mm-hmm. And that seems like a great, like, excuse for everyone to come together. But also you need to plan about half of an actual one-shot because things are going to get wildly off the rails right away.
Yeah, we ended up making it a two-shot and we still didn't kill Santa by the end of it. But yeah, it's so much harder with kids to do like friends-based holiday stuff. Like, it's a little easier for me because I'm off in the middle of nowhere and my family is far, far away. And also we don't celebrate Christmas really. So like your family being close and also quite Christian and also celebrating of the Christmas.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that like closes in pretty quick.
Yeah, yeah. That, well, I mean, I do have the advantage of being divorced. So, like, out of the 2 weeks at Christmas where the kids are around, half of the time, I just don't have them around Christmas proper. So I can kind of, like, do a little bit of my own thing. But, yeah, like you said, then, like, we're at the age where half of our friends have kids and shit. So they, if I'm not doing something, you know, Christmassy with my family immediately, they are. You know, so it's tough.
Yeah. Other option is to run a D&D campaign for kids for Christmas, although you probably don't want to go in the kill Santa direction
for that. I'm open to it. I mean, okay, no, you know what? I lied. I'm not. My son is 8 and he still believes, mostly because I have been I want to call it, like, unnecessarily creative about my lying to him about it.
okay.
Yeah. No, he was questioning last year. So, nobody tell this to anybody. This is, I'm kind of ashamed of this, but he wanted to set up a camera to catch Santa Claus in the act overnight.
Aww.
So, I... I put on like a black glove like Santa would wear and snuck in from the side of the camera frame and pretended to be Santa Claus, knowing what was up and, you know, turning off the camera before he could catch him. And I like was like, oh, ho, nice try, Grant, blah, blah, blah. And and he bought it like hard.
We never did Santa. Like from the beginning, I was always like very upfront about the idea that like Santa is a nice story that some people do believe in. Right. And so it's not nice to like tell people that he doesn't exist or whatever, because that's just a dick thing to do.
Right.
But we never said that we believed in Santa in particular or that Santa was real in our house. And I remember when Thor was like 6 or 7,
yeah,
he came home from daycare one day and he was like, "Dad, you're silly." I was like, "Why?" "Because you don't believe in Santa." I was like, "All right, man. Like, you want to roll that? You can roll that, right? Like, if you want to do the Santa thing, we can absolutely do the Santa thing. But that is 100% on you."
Yeah,
I never had anything to do with that.
The stance that I have chosen is that if he ever asks me, I will not deny that. Like, if he phrases it like Santa's not real, is he? I won't like lie to him. But
right,
I do like fiddle with words. Like, if he's like, "Dad, is Santa real?" I'll be like, "I don't know. What do you think? Does he seem real?"
See, I took like a really hardcore like honesty stance early on, and I regret it.
Yeah,
because like now I can't take it back.
Yeah, because you sucked all the magic and wonder out of his life, and now it's just like, here's cold facts, nerd.
No, not that. It's just like now, if I lie to him, he can tell. yeah, if I decided that I want, yeah, if I decided I wanted to start that shit now, out the fucking window. Yeah. So like as the questions begin to become more complicated, and like more nuanced, it is becoming more and more difficult to try and find like an age appropriate way to talk about some stuff.
Yeah.
And again, like I don't lie to him about anything.
Right.
And so occasionally the questions come down of like, why are you and mom divorced? And I'm like, oh shit, kid.
Oh man.
Take a seat. This is going to be a minute.
So I will say I have never like straight up lied to my kids. I've used misdirection, or I've just straight up said like, cause yeah, like Naomi is at that age where she's like, how come you and mom aren't together? And I was just like, look, there's not a good way to explain this to you at your age. I will tell you why, but you are going to have to wait a few years. Hmm. Right?
That's a good way to handle it. That is not the way that I handled it.
No, you probably just straight up told him about all the problems and trouble and then unloaded your burdens on him. And that's, you know, that's tough.
No, it was just, I tried to keep it very simple.
Yeah.
Of just like, we're in a relationship and that relationship wasn't working the way that it was supposed to. And so the relationship ended. And I was just like, but it took me a minute to like refocus my head and be like, okay, how the fuck do I explain this to a 7-year-old?
Well, and that's the thing, like the explanation for why ours fell apart is going to be a little more complex than that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. So yeah, I can understand why you were just like, all right, I'll just like repackage it. But I definitely need to be like, hey, I can't repackage this in a way that like makes sense to an 11-year-old. Or won't like hurt her feelings. Cause I genuinely like, and this is like maybe a little too much for the pod, but whatever. I genuinely think if she knew why our relationship ended, it would affect her relationship with her mom, and I don't want that to happen yet.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for the record, I lucked out hard on my ex. Like, she is lovely. I hear horror stories from a lot of my friends
like me.
About, like, I didn't want to name names, but I do hear a lot of horror stories about the ways that exes treat them.
Yeah.
And every single time I'm just like, I am so lucky that the person that I married and am in the process of divorcing is so fucking chill.
Yeah.
So like, don't always get along. We don't always like each other, but she is a blessing. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. And I'm not here saying that like, I'm not going to try to sit here and be like, oh, she's such a horrible person, whatever. But like, it has not been the easiest thing. So I'm trying to like shield my kids from that as much as I can.
That's fair. So Santa.
So Santa is part of that because
Santa is part of that.
Christmas was, you know, for a while, Christmas was one of the times that I got like the most time with my kids. So I always wanted to keep it as like wondrous and fun as possible, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
So Santa.
Do you have a favorite like Christmas story that you would adapt to be a role playing game scenario?
yeah. Now that I think about it, but it's not like fun.
Oh no.
what
is it?
Maybe when Herod was like cleansing the town of young male children because he had heard about the birth of Jesus.
Oh God. Okay. So would your players be like the baby murderers? Is that the
direction? No. No. They would be some parents trying to like get out of town and sneak their kid out of town, or they'd be the three wise men showing up and being like, why does this town not have any babies under 3 years old?
All right. Well, that's super fucking dark.
You asked me. This is not my fault.
No, I did. Yeah, no, I'm okay. So we've got let's roll with the parents.
Okay.
Thing. So we have a set of parents and or like a family, like a small family.
Yeah.
I always really like the family character dynamic, right? Like where you have all of your characters are related to one another in some way.
Yeah.
Right. Like I always try to kind of fit them into like Adam's family tropes, right? If you've got like the weird uncle and like the cousin and
right.
like the twins or whatever. But yeah, so you've got your family of five or whatever, and they are leaving town. One, how do you keep it Christmassy? And two, what kind of like things are you throwing in their ways? Like, is it just going to be like people who are doing baby murder are going to randomly show up occasionally? Which, like, as bad guys go, baby murderers are really easy to villainize.
It's one of the easiest.
You want to set somebody up as like the ultimate villain.
Have them kill one or not even two, just one baby.
Okay, so I've been watching a lot of shitty anime lately.
It's all shitty, but and okay.
One of the tropes that I'm noticing in like particularly bad anime is that if you want to make somebody the worst kind of villain, you indicate that they are going to do a sexual assault.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's works for me. I believe them. That guy sucks.
Right. And there are anime that I have been watching where they lean on that really heavily, and like every third person you meet is a rapist. And it is really deeply uncomfortable. And so I'm feeling that like we want to get away from the every third person you meet is a baby murderer.
Right.
I think.
Okay, let me think. So there's the people like who
a
gnoll
or a goblin or something. Yeah.
Okay, you could angels can play a role, so they
okay.
They'll be something that you encounter for realsies. I'm trying to think of like Christmas story type elements. Because in my head, this is sort of more from like just a random family trying to escape Bethlehem, but like it's straight up like Mary and Joseph trying to smuggle Jesus down to Egypt. Right. And so Herod was like a mid-level bureaucrat for the Romans, so there's maybe his inner circle of like Jewish cronies, but then there's also just like the straight up normal Roman guards who kind of care, kind of don't care. They're just kind of like there to keep the peace.
So you treat more as like a stealth thing, or
yeah,
would that be involved? Like, no, is Joseph gonna stab a motherfucker?
No, this is to my mind, and I don't do these very often, but this would be like almost 100% stealth adventure. Like, how can you outwit? Because, yeah, like, there's no account of Joseph being, you know, like, Kung Fu Jesus dad. Like, he's not, that's not who the kind of guy he is. So, yeah, you're going to have to, like, outwit. And maybe once in a while there's some divine intervention, but you're going to have to, like, sneak through and maybe bribe and fast talk or whatever. Like, a lot, it's going to be a lot more role-playing heavy adventure. Which I think will be even funnier the drunker you get.
For the record, I think Kung Fu Jesus Dad would make a fantastic anime. I would watch the shit out of that.
Yeah, if there's one thing I'm good at, it's just fire names for things that don't exist right away.
All right, so the first one that I came up with that was like not just the standard. Like the standard campaign, I think, is just like Santa's missing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everybody go find Santa or like replace him for the day.
Isn't that movie coming out like right now that is just like The Rock and someone else need to go find Santa?
Yeah, and like last year it was Anna Kendrick as like Santa's daughter or something doing exactly the same thing. It's
sorry,
every
that's,
year Santa
that's
goes
a thing?
Missing.
I hadn't even heard of that one.
Yeah, she was trying to find her brother or something because, like, her dad was retiring and he was supposed to be Santa, but he wouldn't do it, so she had to step in or some shit. I haven't actually seen the movie. I am just making up the plot as I go.
And I try not to miss Anna Kendrick movies, so.
Yeah. No, she did a Christmas movie, and I have no idea how good it was.
There's a redeeming idea about this Red One movie. J.K. Simmons is Santa Claus. So... I feel like he brings a very different energy to Saint Nick than anyone else would.
Yeah, like for a while, Tim Allen was like peak Santa, and then he went crazy.
went.
Or like he was already crazy and we just didn't notice.
Yeah, we masked it under like Republican presidents.
And cocaine. Yeah. Anyway, anyways. My first idea that was not just like go find Santa was kind of like the opposite direction of that, okay. Where it's like we have a star showing up in the sky and like the weird old man of the village is like, yep, that's going to be a savior. All right. And then tasks your team with one, finding a gift that is good enough to give to a savior. And then also doing an escort quest to get the weird old man to the stable where some teenager is having a baby.
Okay.
Just leave all of the like the Christian tropes, leave them in there, but don't like make them big, I guess. It's just like, yeah, there's some weird old guy who thinks that this baby is going to be like the son of Lathandar or something.
Yeah, there and you go.
We gotta go find like a weird amount of incense to bring to a baby, because if there's one thing a baby needs, it's incense.
I mean, honestly, I kind of get, I'm down with the idea of like at Christmas, some of the presents that you give to like really small children should actually be for the parents who have to put up with those small children.
Oh yeah, no, if you have to live in like, if you have to live in a Middle Eastern summer with a baby and a bin full of diapers, incense is going to be a good gift.
Yeah.
But I just always found it kind of funny that like they show up with gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Yeah.
For a babe. Just tiny wee baby. Have these like weird esoteric adult gifts.
Gold, I get it. Kids are expensive. Yeah. Like just that's the equivalent really of giving cash at Christmas. That's fine.
That kind of like recontextualizes that wise man for me now, where he's just like old Jewish grandpa who like unrolls a wad of 20s and is like, all right, what do you want for Christmas, kid?
Yeah, exactly. The frankincense is like, yeah, you know what? You're in a barn. Kids are smelly. Like, cool, whatever. The myrrh is a tough one to justify.
I don't actually know what myrrh is.
Oh, so it's like,
I'm gonna look it up. I'm gonna click and click.
So it's a resin
right now.
It's a resin that has like possible like antibacterial and what would you call it, pain management properties. But I know it often gets made into like essential oils. And
a fragrant yellow sap-like resin that comes out of cuts in the bark of certain camphora trees. All right.
Yeah, but also like at the time that that story was like written down, that it was more expensive than gold.
Right. It contains chemicals that may reduce pain and kill bacteria.
There you go.
That's neat. Myrrh for your baby's gums? Would that just be like teething?
Oh,
is myrrh on it?
Wait, it's sap-like, right?
Yeah.
This is just an amber teething necklace, but, you know, that's all this is.
Solving Christmas. But yeah, like, I like the idea of, like, having to do, like, a shopping thing first and, like, go and find, like, a good enough gift. And also because the old man is weird. Like, if you bring back normal stuff for babies, it's like, no, it won't do.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to find progressively more unhinged items.
Yeah, and then do, like, an escort quest through the desert and fight some monsters on your way to go to a stable where a teenager is having a baby.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
And, like, with the full understanding that, like, the only thing telling you that a teenager is having a baby is a star in the sky, and you're like, I don't really get it. we're gonna go, like, the guy's paying us to go, but at the same time, like,
we're not saying no, but it still feels weird.
It is a strange connection to make, sir. Stomach this baby.
Perfect.
All right, what about the Krampus?
I am not up on my Krampus lore. The only connection, like, the only knowledge I had of Krampus was, like, as a weird counterpoint to Santa Claus in, like, horror movies, and I don't really do horror movies in general, so I was just like, that's, you know, horror BS. I'm not dealing with that. Ever.
Okay. Because, like, the actual myth around Krampus, my understanding of it, I could be completely off base, is that Krampus is a Christmas spirit elf thing from Scandinavia.
Yeah, I know that much. Who
puts naughty children in his sack to squish them to death and eat them.
So he's just like the counterpoint to Santa. Like, if you're good, Santa will bring your present. If you're bad, Krampus will turn you into food.
Yeah. Specifically by squishing you in his weird sack.
Cool.
Which, like, given that it's a murder sack, I can only imagine smells terrible.
Yeah, it can't smell good.
Unless he's, like, really careful about washing it between child murders. But, yeah, like, I like the idea of, like, okay, similar to the thing that you were doing where, like, you walk into town and there are no children under three.
Right.
Walking into town and, like, somebody is stealing all the children.
Yeah, like a, I want to say it shares similarity to, like, a Pied Piper type thing, but.
Well, no, exactly. And, like, you sell it like a Pied Piper type thing.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, yeah, children have been going missing, right? The parents are really worried. There hasn't been, like, any bodies found. So, like, we think that the kids are still alive. We need to hire some adventurers to go find them. And then you need to go and, like, unsteal the children.
Unsteal? Is that the word we're going with?
Steal back.
Rescue?
Sure.
Liberate? Recover? No. Yeah. We went the 1984 route of, there's too many words, we'll just modify the single word. And steal is the word that we landed on.
I think the thing that I find funniest about that is that unsteal the children is written in our notes, and it does not have a red underline.
Right. Okay. Well.
Unsteal is a word. According to Google Docs, unsteal is a word.
Fine. I don't like it, but.
I mean, that one could go in a few directions. Like, you could have it so that Krampus is collecting the children to make a bigger meal.
Right.
He's going to squish children with other children. Or you could just, like, show up to, like, some horrifying troll lair where, like, a troll with a sack has been eating kids.
Yeah, I guess that's true. There's always that option.
The spirit of Christmas.
Okay, but, like, on the other hand, like, do we need a Krampus when, like, there's so many examples out there right now of, like, Santa goes bad or whatever?
I mean, that's one of the things that I've got in our list.
Like, did you ever see the movie Violent Night?
No, but I saw some trailers for it that made me realize that that was not a movie I wanted to see.
Why not? It's so funny and good.
I don't really do, like, that genre of, like, schlocky action horror.
Oh.
It seemed horror to me, which wasn't really my ideal.
It's just action.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just this guy with, like, kind of a shitty past, you find out, took over Santa Claus and was doing it really well for a long time and then got sort of disillusioned. And then
These
shitty people show up, and so he has to kind of combine who he used to be with, like, who he is now.
Okay. So one of the things that I have in this list, I'm not sure where it is because we're not really, like, going in order or anything, is this is the first year that everyone was on the naughty list.
Okay.
And Santa loses his fucking marbles.
Yeah.
And so your party now has to stop him from killing every child in the world.
That's a heck of a... All right.
So, like, instead of dropping off, like, presents or whatever, he's just lighting places on fire. he's like murdering children. He's just like, nope, I'm done. The prophecy has been fulfilled. It is time.
Wow.
And like Santa as a bad guy is kind of terrifying.
Sure. If you start like unpacking what he can actually do with those things he has.
Yeah, like he's got a flying sled with a bunch of like large, possibly angry beasts at the front. He has a sack that can fit enough presents for everyone on the entire planet. He has an entire army of elves at his disposal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude's terrifying. You could turn him into the next Strahd. Really. I want Castle Ravenloft featuring Santa.
That's one way to sell it. I could buy that.
Yeah. No, I think that one, like, if we're doing a one shot, I think that one's got some legs because, like, you really have to stop him before he starts.
Okay.
Because, like, once Santa has killed even one child, you're done.
Yeah.
Like, that's. Christmas is over.
Yeah. Yeah. All it takes is one.
Yeah, we've mentioned it a couple of times, but you really only have to kill one kid.
That's so insane. All right, whatever. Yep, you're right.
Yep. Scrooging.
Sorry.
So, Scrooging. I like the idea of like your characters.
Scrooging.
Yep. Scrooging. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I like the idea that your characters are being hauled through time by a bunch of angry spookums.
Yeah.
That you then have to like fight things from your past or things from your future. Not necessarily in the vein of A Christmas Carol where like you're learning important lessons or anything, which is like
sure.
The Ghost of Christmas Past brings you to like an adventure your team has already finished. They've already completed that one. And so now you have to fight that boss again. And then, like, Ghost of Christmas Future brings you to up against, like, a level 20 badass that you have no chance of, like, defeating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Solid for a one-shot, especially if, like, you get the TPK in the future and then you wake up and it was all a dream.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I do kind of wish, like, to stick with, like, the moral lessons of Scrooging, but the temptation to like just write my own morals for whatever the stupid thing is I'm doing is are very strong.
Yep.
Did you see like this was essentially a prompt on Make Some Noise where it was like the
was it?
Oh, yeah, it was the spirits were convening before they go meet up with Scrooge or something like that.
Oh yeah.
I like some of the ideas presented in there, but maybe, whatever.
I don't know. I think that, like, me being me, I am perfectly happy putting moral lessons into role-playing games.
Right.
Not necessarily, like, fables-like moral lessons, but mine are usually more, like, complicated, like, man is the real monster nonsense.
Yeah.
So like I could see myself getting involved in that direction with a Scrooge scenario, but mostly I just like the idea of like time traveling ghosts and then like fighting things from your past, present, and future.
Yeah. Okay. Let's time traveling ghosts. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. So I have one here that's just called the Gnome Elf Christmas War.
The what?
The Gnome Elf Christmas War. That's the entire prompt. That's all I've got there.
It's not a thing, is it?
In my head, it's because Christmas elves look like gnomes.
Okay.
But they aren't, like, they're called elves. And so, like, in my head, I had this idea of, like, Tolkien/D&D style elves getting really mad about that. And, like, throwing down on the Christmas elves. I'm just like, yep, nope. You can't call yourselves elves anymore. Can't do it. And it starts a fucking war. And then, you know, just North Pole becomes a war zone.
I, yeah. I kind of like that idea too, except and this is probably because this is like the literature that I'm, or the fantasy stuff that I'm most familiar with, but I like the idea of almost like the World of Warcraft elves being super mad about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I also like the idea of like getting to Santa's workshop and like expecting a bunch of gnomes, but instead you find a bunch of like long-eared blood elves.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I do have one here that I think would actually be a really fun game all by itself. And it is that everyone starts as a level one elf. You are all in Santa's employ, and your team has been tasked with putting together over 1 million PlayStation 7s. There are five of them.
Yeah. So you have to... Okay.
Like, first you have to invent a PlayStation 7, and then...
That's so ridiculous.
Right? But, like, have all of these, like, weird challenges and, like, magical things that you have to put together, and, like, running around the shop with, as, like, a chicken with your head cut off, like, trying to get everything you need to build this fucking PlayStation 7 prototype before you can go and mass-produce a million of them.
Right.
Right, just, like, kind of shine a spotlight on just how ridiculous Santa's Workshop is as, like, a concept. Especially today's day and age where, like, kids are just like, I want an iPad, and Santa's like, fuck, that's copyrighted. Like,
yeah,
you've got trademarks and shit.
Oh my god. Yeah, alright. That seems like almost a little too in the weeds, though.
Is it?
I think so. Like, if you get to the PlayStation side of it.
Yeah, I just think that, like, doing a impossible task in a Christmas setting seems like fun.
Sure, okay.
Right, like, you get all of, like, the gingerbread houses and the candy canes and, like, the set dressing and stuff. Everybody is playing as, like, a D&D elf of a different class. And you have to, like, run around Santa's workshop to try and, like, get all the things. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be a PlayStation 7. It's just like...
Yeah. I get the idea.
You have been... Santa needs you to make a technological marvel.
Right.
And you have a wooden hammer and some pegs.
Okay, I just had an idea.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This is one of those oh, no ideas. What if... and this is going to take a shitload of work, so please don't anybody do this, but... Were you to make your, like, 3D dungeon / setting out of gingerbread, and then some sort of, like, so I had two ideas. One would be you are now, like the North Pole is under siege, and so I have various devices around here that I could use to fling dice or other things at a gingerbread house and slowly break it down while you're trying to, like, shore it up, or I don't know, you've got some sort of clock on activating the device that saves whatever, who cares, or you can make all of your walls and rooms in the dungeon out of gingerbread, and then as the party progresses they can eat their spoils.
Okay, I was actually, like, just thinking that you could one-up that by making all of the bad guys edible as well.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Right, so, like, you kill one of the, like, goblins that's attacking the North Pole, and you just eat him?
Yeah. You could make, like, a little gummy goblin. or gingerbread goblins.
So much work.
This is the most extra version that you could do of this, but, like, think of how memorable that would be. This is the year we fought, like, the big bad is a giant, and it's a gingerbread giant.
Okay, so my head just took that in the, like, somebody cheaped out direction of, like, this is the year that we fought 100 Haribo sugar-free gummy bears.
It can't be sugar-free. It's already going to be rough enough.
Good. That seems like some micro-hoolig bullshit.
Yeah, oh, 100% it is. This is something that, like, you know, the new generation of professional DMs would do or whatever, right? Not us.
Not us. DMing is your job.
Yeah.
Don't have kids.
Unless, like, unless you somehow planned it out for, like, months in advance and there were certain pieces that you could have ready to go so that you didn't have to do it all within, like, the last week. But whatever.
I guess if you knew that you were going to do, like, a Christmas one-shot, like, a month in advance, you could absolutely put all of it together.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one that would require so much preparation. Like, you couldn't do that when your friends are like, hey, do you want to play D&D tomorrow?
Yeah, no. No, this is for people who have good friends who, like, make plans and stick to them, and, you know. Yeah. Not us.
No, not us. We forget things that we did last week.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got The Goblins That Stole Christmas as, like, a PG version of the Krampus one.
Okay, yeah.
Like, instead of,
like Goblins Stole My Christmas? Like,
yeah, like all of the kids
not.
Well, no, like, all of the kids wake up and instead of, like, Christmas presents, they've got, like, a bunch of dog guts and horse heads under the tree.
Okay, yeah.
And so the town hires adventurers to go find the goblins that stole all the presents.
I just had an idea again.
Oh, no.
I don't know why suddenly your description made me think of this. The party is reenacting Home Alone from the perspective of the Wet Bandits. Except this time the Wet Bandits are the good guys, maybe? I don't know.
No, if you make the wet Bandits the goblins who stole all the Christmas presents.
But that's not how the layout of the house works. I don't know.
I mean, they could just have, like, a house.
True. Just,
right? Like, there's nothing saying that a goblin can't pay a mortgage.
That's true. But, like, I want them to lay it out exactly like the McAllister house.
Okay. Yeah, with, like, all of the same available tools. So, like, you got paint cans swinging and, like, tacks or marbles or whatever.
Yep.
Downstairs. Yeah.
Broken Christmas decorations beneath the window.
I do love the idea of, like, some tricksy trap setting goblins.
Yeah.
In, like, a big, like, 1990s McMansion.
Also, I really like the idea of the quality of the mansion just absolutely not matching what you know goblins to have as far as, like available resources. You're just like, how the hell did they afford this place?
Yeah, like, for one thing, other than the traps, it's spotless.
Yeah.
Right, the food in the fridge is all fresh.
Yeah.
And, like, well taken care of. The goblins themselves are all, like, fastidious.
Yeah. There's only three of them that live there, but there's somehow 17 bedrooms. Oh, my God.
Rest of the family went on vacation.
Like, Buzz's pet spider could just be a giant spider in the bedroom.
All right. I think you have, like, fallen on your Christmas campaign this year.
I kind of do maybe think that.
Just run it for your kids. I mean, they don't want to play with you, but just run it anyway.
They do. Listen, I think they're ready to try it again. They were
okay.
I'll freely admit, I think they were too young last time.
Okay.
So yeah, we'll give it another shot. I'll put together, because I have them after Christmas into the new year. Mm-hmm. So I'll I'll put together a little Christmas one shot for them, where they run through the McAllister house and try to make it out alive.
No, all of the other goblins are on vacation in New York. You could do... Oh, man. Okay, so you make it so that it seems like an entire family of goblins did this because they did, and then the rest of the goblins went on vacation and they left one blonde goblin behind. So, like, Christmas morning, they've got all the presents.
You know,
they're just not there. They're
one blonde goblin and cheese pizza.
And the rest of the goblins have taken a griffin to New York.
Yeah.
And you would have to do, like, when they bust into the bathroom and find him, he'd have to do, like, the hand slap scream.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I could probably do that. I don't think my kids actually know what Home Alone, well, they might know what Home Alone is, but I don't think they know it well enough for me to have to, like, disguise it. I think the reveal of this hand slap would probably be pretty good.
Okay, so you have them the week after Christmas.
Yeah.
On the week before Christmas, show them Home Alone.
Oh, yeah, good call.
Right, so you get them, you show them Home Alone, now they're familiar with the IP, and then you twist it for your twisted, horrifying role-playing game needs.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. That's the way to do it.
Brilliant. Okay, one of my favorites on here was, we have to rescue St. Nicholas of Myra from the ice gnomes that have trapped him in immortality and are forcing him to deliver their evil little gifts to children all over the world.
What?
So, evil ice gnomes have captured St. Nicholas of Myra.
Right.
Who is the inspiration for Santa Claus. And are keeping him captive at the North Pole and forcing him to deliver evil little gifts to children all over the world every year.
I just don't understand the sentence, trapped him in immortality. But I guess
maybe. Yeah, so. No, like he can't die. He's,
oh.
He's not allowed to die.
Okay.
Okay. He wants to. He's very old.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
This is a little bit based on, like, actually 100% based on, like, a Neil Gaiman 100-word story.
Oh.
Or, like, 1,000 years ago.
I thought we weren't talking about him anymore.
Yeah. And then sometimes he does stuff that's good.
Yeah, all the time. That's the problem. He does it all the time. Yeah.
But, yeah, like, it starts with Nicholas was old.
Okay.
And it's just talking about, like, how fucking tired he is as the, like, gnomes are pushing him into his sled. And I just like the idea of, like, they've actually taken Nicholas of Myra and are forcing him to do Christmas.
Yeah. All right, dope.
All right. Any others that you would do? Any other, like, big...
Let me think.
Swings?
Part of me wants to just remake the claymation Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but as a D&D adventure.
Oh, man, I put that one on here. I called it Freaky Deer in the Fog. So okay. Christmas Eve is... I'm going to read this out because I actually kind of like the way I wrote this. Christmas Eve is foggy as shit and Santa can't see Blitzen's ass in front of him. We need you to find a critter that can fly, fits a reindeer harness, won't eat the reindeer, and glows like fuck. But not Rudolph. That guy's the worst.
Okay. But how will I then be Burl Ives?
I don't understand that reference.
Have you not seen, like, the animated?
I have seen it many, many times and remember none of it.
Okay.
Other than, like, the freaky deer face and, like, I can't remember if the snowman is part of it or part of the other weird claymation.
That's that one. It's in that one. Oh, what do you mean? No.
I bounced off that so hard. The whole thing freaked me out.
Really?
Yeah.
Burl Ives is Sam the Snowman? Yukon Cornelius?
Even as an animator, right, like somebody who has gone to school for animation and knows how claymation works, it still freaks me out. I can't fucking watch it.
Oh, that sucks, because there's so many... Like, Hermie, the elf that just wants to be a dentist. So good.
See, nothing about that sentence makes me want to watch it.
No, like, he's got this... There's a whole, like, through line of, like, these things that don't fit in, like Rudolph or Hermie or Yukon. They're just kind of misfits. They go to the Island of Misfit Toys. And, yeah, like, the whole lesson of the entire thing is, like, just because you don't fit within the mold of what everyone else is doing doesn't mean you don't have value.
Yeah, I think the thing with my prompt not going for Rudolph is I feel like Rudolph is too easy. Right? Like, if you say you need something that, like, glows like fuck and fits all of these reindeer tropes, everybody's just going to look for a Rudolph.
Right. But
can't be Rudolph.
That's Rudolph fine. Sucks. You can just add these other characters from that beloved, you know, animated program. That I think would be great.
Okay, so you take all of those beloved characters that I don't remember, and you put them in the thing, and then you just make Rudolph a giant dick.
Yeah.
Just he's a fuck. Nobody likes that guy.
And then as the DM, you get to play King Moonracer. King Moonracer, the Chimera King of the Island of Misfit Toys.
Nothing about this makes me want to watch.
You don't want to watch a half lion, half eagle king of an island of toys like a Charlie in the Box?
You keep talking and it just keeps getting weirder.
Yeah, it's insane, but it's great. Oh, like
that's a pretty apt expression for both of us.
Yeah, maybe that explains why I love it so much.
Hey, thanks for making it all the way through this episode of No Plot Only Lore. If you're looking for more, you can always find us at noplotonlylore.com and on all the very best podcast platforms. If you like what you heard today, please share, rate, and review the show to feed my never-ending need for attention and validation.